For those of you that wonder why I'm wearing this, is because of we have a dear members online. They are not able to come to church, and we decide to reach out for them and give them at least as much as we can, and we like to welcome them into our fellowship via teleconference. And that's why we have this funny thing going on here, and this wire here is to connect to you, and this here is to connect to them. So we all connected by the grace of God. At this time, of course, we like to welcome those that are visiting us. We have quite a few of them. Just for a second, I'm sorry that I'm going to cause you this discomfort, but would you please stand if you are not a local member of our church? All of you there are not a local member of our church. Would you please stand? Yes, we are very blessed that all of you are here with us, worship with us. Thank you so much for being part of our church family this morning. Thank you. I don't know how many of you have heard in the past few days a lot about Russia. For 4 years, we heard Russia, Russia, Russia for different reasons. And it looks like Russia doesn't go away. Though we keep listening to it. It looks like people are so desperate to be on the spotlight. Some people like that. I don't know how many of you like history. And there is a say that if those that do not pay attention to history are doomed to repeat it. If you look in the history a little bit, you'd be amazed how so much alike what is going on now has happened 70 few years ago. When one individual decided that you are to resolve all his issues at home, that he was going to make the nation proud. And he decided that with a strong army, he could intimidate his neighbors. And he looked to the north and he saw Czechoslovakia and has a lot of Germans there. That's supposed to belong to us. So he went and took it. And the rest of the world stayed quiet. Indifferent. By the way, back then was Czechoslovakia. On the news a few years ago, we heard Crimea. It's different names, but the attitude and the evil is the same. And then we hear the dragon from the north is speaking and being defiant. And when you hear in the news that a Russian airplanes flew, I read again, I said, it's not possible because logistically it's not even possible that an airplane that fast will fly by 5 feet. That's what the news said, 5 feet from U.S. ships. I always got those. It's part of the fun. Even with your mask, I know you're laughing. That's good. So, when we hear those things, those provocations, it's not only in foreign water territory, but also in the coast of Alaska. How close they are provoking, they intend to have a reason to start something. And you know that they need that reason in order to justify their aggression. Because they want to tell the world, we did not initiate. Back 70-some years ago, it was exactly word by word the same thing. When Adolf Hitler said that the Polish people provoked them, and yet he created the whole farce just to invade Poland. And it was Czechoslovakia, then Poland, and then one by one, the desire for power was and it's still the same. Our world now is very fragile. It has always been. And I would like to say this because there's two powers there that wants to have control over the world. One is going after Ukraine, another one is going after Thailand, and it goes on and on. Everybody wants to have what belongs to somebody else. This was from the beginning. There was a fruit there. The Lord said, this is mine. Don't touch it. And the enemy says, why not covet? Not 19, it was different covet. And they grab it. And the world has been sick since then. So I'm not with this intent with this message. You know us for a while. We have no intention to scare anybody, because if you come to Christ because you're scared, you're never going to see Him. Fear does not bring you close to God. So I'm not going to use this sacred place here, the pulpit, to insult you with to make you afraid of what is going on in order for you to come close to God. Now, that's another reason. You need to come close to God because in spite of all the miseries that Satan can bring to this life, He will still watch over us and will be fine. I watch also with my wife some Holocaust documentaries. And we saw what that regime did to people that had faith. Not only the Jewish, because most of the time we think the Holocaust is all about Jewish people. But I'm using the Holocaust as a symbol of all the abuse that that power inflicted in the whole world. Even today, the world is still have scars hurting from that time. And so, you all know that history will repeat itself. You all know that you are unique, you are peculiar people. And that brings hate. Sometimes, every time we are different than other people, people sometimes use that as an excuse to hate us. It was true back then, and the Bible predicted it would be true also at the end. But one thing we must know, that all the people that precede us, that were persecuted by their faith, they are sleeping, but they are rich. Because the King of Kings is the one who is going to come to their bedside and wake them up. And when they open their eyes, they'll be shocked how they look. And I keep saying, all right, I'm going to have my beautiful hair back. And it's going to be as beautiful as I have never seen before. Today is the Lord's day. Why is today a happy day? Because Abba is there. Abba is here. And He is the light that makes the day shine. He is the light that makes the day holy. So you're all Abba's children. So let's all do not fall asleep, because Abba wants you to listen, okay? So today, the title of the message, Got Oil. Got oil? You know, some of you remember that there was a campaign going on television, and they use movies, they use everything. They put billions of dollars to try to ask people to drink milk. This is not milk. I haven't drank milk for so many years in my life, I don't even know what the taste of it. But This is the Cookie Monster. He has all those cookies and something he needs to go with those cookies. He says, got milk. And the campaign, remember she was a driver before, now she's retired. And she was used to promote milk, got milk. And all the boys know this fellow here, right? And they said, if you want to be a Superman, you must drink, of course, milk. And they have all the mustache there. Now, oil is something very vital in a human life. We need oil in our bodies so our joints can work well. Sometimes we, of course, we cook with oil. Some people cook with too much oil. And I drive in the freeway sometimes going home. On the freeway, I can smell the oil from those fast food. I have no idea what, how many years they haven't changed that oil, because we can smell for, but a lot of people eat, especially sometimes Asians, we fry, the Asians fry a lot of things. In some other place, they fry a lot of things. They use oil a lot. We use oil many different ways. So we need oil. Now, some of you drove here. I believe all of you. I don't think nobody walked here. So the car needs oil as well. And you'd be amazed how much, how many things in life needs oil. And there are many different types of oil. But one that is very common, we all know about, is olive oil. Right? I like olive oil. I like the taste. You know, it's a, some people even put it on bread and eat just a, it's a, especially if it's well, if it's pure, it's very good. And I like this picture. I can look at this picture for quite a while. You know, I like the oil. I'm going to put it in the screen, a place where I found this article. I'm not going to be talking about the article for the sake of time, but it says 20 surprising uses for olive oil around the home. And I read, some of I knew, but some of talked about even to applying hair, applying a furniture, how even to remove a label from a bottle or something with a drop of olive oil and leave there for a while, and then the sticker comes out. And many different oil. Even it says that zipper that it doesn't want to open. You take a little drop of olive oil, put there a little bit, and then it'll open. And this article here, that's the reference, shows those 20 surprise use. This is just few of them. But of course, there are more, many more. And if you don't want a copy right now, if you want it later on, I just can give it to you later on. Please, oil tastes good, helps, but please be careful. Everything that is too much, it is too much. Something that is supposed to give you life or help your life, if it's used too much, it may cause severe damage. Just like your car, you know that if it says there are four quarts, you put only four. If you put more, then you're going to be smoking, and pretty soon your car is not going to like you anymore. So you put only what is needed. And the quality, the better oil you put in your engine, the more it will last. Same thing with us. Depends on the quality of oil that we put it in, the longer we last. That's part of life. It's common sense. So some people say, oh no, I cannot afford that oil, and they put a cheap one. And then they have to buy another car. And all that money that you save, you didn't save anything. You lost a lot of money. So there are things in life that is not worth to be cheap about it. And whatever you put inside of this temple, it cannot be cheap. Mentally, physically, do not put anything cheap. Don't be cheap about yourselves, because you will pay the price. So no matter how you use the oil, make sure that you put quality in you, because that's the way life is. One of the uses of oil in the Bible is to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Also, the oil is used for light, to produce light. Here are some how those they use. They create of clay, they make this container. They put oil inside, and they took a little piece of cloth and put inside. And this is how they did. After they put that, and they make sure that all was wet, and then they set up, put a fire, and then bring light to the house. I don't know how many of you have lived in a house with a light like this. I have. I lived for 6 months with my grandmother, and she did not have electricity. And she used something like that. It didn't bother us. It just made us go to bed earlier. No television. Because, by the way, they have not invented television that runs only all olive oil yet. So we didn't have television. Some, there are other types, simpler. This was a much simpler ones, and they're sophisticated ones. This was an expensive one those days. A lamp. Yes, the Bible talks about a lamp. Not this kind of lamp, but this kind of lamp. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I like to for you to think that this verse is not only talking about the Bible. Please keep this in mind because I'm going to make a reference to this again. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Every church claimed to be sola scriptura. They claim that they all have the Bible, and the Bible is their lamp. And yet, they go in a church in a date that doesn't say in the lamp. They just got that from some other place. And they have a lot of other beliefs. I have one time, one person came to me and says, Pastor, I'm going to marry this person because her faith and ours is basically the same. I said, really? How much do you know about her faith? And she said the same thing. They came for marriage counseling because they want me to marry them. I said, I can't because you're both from two different... Oh, no, we believe almost the same thing. And he said, this, the member of our church said to me, Pastor, she is even a better Christian than I am. And that's the argument you're trying to convince me to marry you? It scared me to death. I said, my member doesn't know a thing about his own faith because if he tells those things, it's just like somebody has a dog and a cat and says, they are exactly the same. They have four legs and they have two ears. They are basically the same thing. Have you heard that argument before? Look, we are not here to discriminate against anyone. We don't have the right to do so. But the Bible is very clear. A lamp is a lamp, but depends what is feeding that lamp. What quality of oil is inside of that lamp. It says all of them have lamps. So the lamps, they all have the same thing. But what made the difference? All 10 of them. Now 5 of them were wise. Why? Why they were wise? Because they knew that it was important to have the lamp. But the lamp does not work without the oil. For those that have a Bible in their homes, and I'm not here to throw stones at anyone, but I'm going to say, I have to say this because that's my role. I have to say, those that have a Bible in their homes and do not open is a dry book because there's no oil on it. In it or on it, both. A Bible that is not read is just paper and ink. And nothing else. So brothers and sisters, the wise ones, they did something. And the foolish did something else too. They both have the lamps. But the difference is that those who were foolish took their lamps, but what? No oil. It's just like to say, I bought myself a brand new Mercedes or Ferrari, since we are not buying anyway. So I bought this very expensive car, but I'm not going to buy any gasoline. And I'm not going to, if it's electric, I'm not going to charge. What will be good? What is the value of a car that doesn't move? What is the value of a Christian who holds the Bible but does not read it? Or opens the Bible but does not live according to the Word? What is good for you to have a lamp that you cannot turn on because there is no power to? I don't know, brothers and sisters, why, how long are we going to go pretending that everything is fine when it's not? But the wise took oil in their vessels. That's why the distinction. They took, because they knew, in order for this to work, it needs this. And that takes understanding, that takes wisdom. That's why they're called wise. Yes, they took. Because the bridegroom was late, and this version here, New Century Verse, says it was late. Some other says because he delayed. I am not comfortable to say that Jesus Christ is late. I know this is more for our understanding. Because God, if there is one person who understands time and controls time and deals with time properly, is God. We messed up, but he never. If you look in this book, read the prophecies, 2300, how precise God is, always on time. And don't fool yourselves. The time will be determined, because now when he finished his work in the heavenly sanctuary, he will say exactly what he said on the cross. It is finished. I have all the names, all the ones who will make it. I need to go and pick them up. And he's coming for you, kid. He's coming for you. You're not going to be stuck here. If you choose to be with him, he is coming for you.
Amen.
Now they all fell asleep. Remember, they all have the Bible. They all have the idea, the right idea, he is coming. And so they fell asleep. At the midnight cry, why they use the expression midnight? Because you see, today midnight doesn't mean the same thing that it meant back then. Midnight back then, they were already asleep for 6 hours. They were in the best time. Today, sadly, we kill ourselves all the time. Sometimes it's midnight. That's when you get up to do something. We are very different in those days. And a midnight cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Yes, he is, because he said he was going to come, and he is coming. He says, go out to meet him. But what happens? The cry was very loud. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, meaning tried to get it ready, because once they woke up, they realized, oh, it's running out of oil. And I have seen that. What happens, you have to add a little bit more to make sure. But how can you add what you don't have? The time for you to get the oil is now, brothers and sisters. Because it will come a time when you want to have the oil, and the oil will not be available. And the Bible, the text will say to you this. So they talk among themselves. And you know what is happening? The foolish said to the wise, you know what? Why don't you give me some of your faith? Why don't you give me some of your personal experience? Give me some of your oil. Give to me. Those that do not take time to prepare in their lives, they're always on give me business. I think you know what I'm trying to say. In our society, it's the same thing. People that do not put effort in order to be good provide for themselves, they are in a give-me business. And now they are getting very, very mad about things. Because when you raise a child and you make a child of give-me type of child, they go through life entitled. They feel like they're entitled to everything. So don't be like that with your faith. Don't believe that you're entitled to anything, because salvation is not by works, it's by grace. By grace, did you hear me say? By grace. But there is no grace for those that want to live in disobedience. Grace is to empower you to be obedient, not to make you obedient. because you need to make that choice a personal choice. So they said, give me some of what you have. Of course, the wise, that's why they are wise. They says, you know, it doesn't make any sense. If we share what we have, all of us will be run out. There'll be hope for nobody. There was a time for you to have more oil, and you chose not to. Remember, the wise did not criticize the foolish. They just went along. It is, hey, how come you're not getting more? They respect them. It was their choice. You make your choice, and the consequence comes with it. You make a choice, rewards comes with it, one or the other. But it says, no, at least there should not be enough for you and us. But go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. By the way, they are so foolish that they actually believed there was somebody still selling. And they went to look for it. Yes, they went. We put this picture together. As of course, we cannot imagine how the return of Christ will be. But I'm trying to convey in this picture the modern, those two, you know, the closest, the virgin over there to symbolize all the time through the, you know, throughout the ages. We all gonna be there. It says, while they went to buy, bridegroom came, because he said he was coming, he came. And those who were ready went with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Do you know what this expression, and the door was shut, means? Grace will end for those that do no longer want to accept Jesus Christ. It says those that have the Spirit will receive even more. Holier will become. So like the Lord says, oh, you had enough oil? No, here, I have more oil for you. But for those that are now will receive the mark of the beast, those that will let the philosophies of the world to be imprinted in their minds, those will be no longer able to get in, because the door will be shut. What is the door in the Bible? Jesus said, I am the door. Meaning those people will no longer be able to reach out and accept Christ, because the door will be closed for them. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, you know what, Lord, Lord, open to us. Would you please open your Bibles now? Since the word open, so let's open our Bibles. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Chapter 7 of Matthew. I thought, if I keep putting all verses on the screen, it will be easy for somebody to feel relaxed. So they need to open their Bible at least once during the sermon. Chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Afterwards, the other virgins came to also say, Lord, Lord. That expression is used again by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Look what it says, verse 21. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Here is a group that it shows in his own illustration. Jesus said, here's a group that's not going to enter. Why? Because they did not ask or not seeking the Holy Spirit, a double portion of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Not all everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those that does my Father's will. And then it continued, a group said, but, a foolish group said, but we have done perform miracles, we have a lot of works. We have done a lot of works. Now, verse 23. Finally, I will say to them, I have no idea who you are. I do not know you, because you practice iniquity. You live an unholy life. you cannot be part of me. But he answering said, now going back to the text here, says, surely I say to you, I do not know you. And if you open your Bibles also in Mark 7:7, it's easy to remember. Mark 7:7. He says, in vain they worship me. They think that they know me, they think that I know them, but there's no relationship. Because they like to live in darkness and I'm light. They like to reject the sinners and I'm the savior of the sinners. I do not know you. Brothers and sisters, I don't think there will be any expression in the Bible that will be more so terrible to hear for any human being when Jesus Christ comes and says, I do not know you. I have no idea who you are. Can you imagine loving somebody so much and the person turns to you and says, I have no idea who you are. I never heard of you. It's painful. It's painful when you try to love somebody, somebody cannot love you back for some reason. In this case here, these people pretend to love Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ says, I have no idea who you are. And to know means to be one with. Intimacy, to be part of a family, a unity. When two are one, I do not know you because you have never been part of my body. You have not worshiped with in the body of Christ. You were outside of the church. You are not part of the body of Christ. If you are part of the body of Christ, you are one with Christ and Christ knows you. We hear all the time, this was 2011, a long time ago, but we hear once in a while, we hear people that says, oh, I know that when Jesus Christ is coming. And by the way, some people, Seventh-day Adventists, think that it is their responsibility to apologize for 1844. Don't ever make that mistake, please. Don't apologize for something that it has nothing to do with your personal relationship with God. Not that we are embarrassed about it now, but just understand one thing. What I listen to and when I study about the history of the Adventist movement, I see God in every single aspect. Why? The remnant of Christ. And I do not apologize for saying this. If you are here present today and you do not have you have not chosen yet to be called Seventh-day Adventist, you are here today, you are an Adventist. If all that it takes for you to take one little few more steps to become a Seventh-day Adventist, please do soon. We'll do right away. And I'm not inviting you to be part of our organization. I'm asking you to be part of the body of Christ. Because the remnant is biblical. Has nothing to do with our denomination. It's what the Bible says. If something happens in this denomination ceases to exist, I'm still going to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Until I see my Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be a Seventh-day Adventist. You know why? Because Adam was a Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus was a Seventh-day Adventist. Luke says clearly, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath as his custom was. When talk about all the disciples, they says in Acts chapter 17, he says, and went to the synagogue because that was their custom. Every single person that this book talks about that have faith was a Seventh-day Adventist. That's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Not because I belong to an organization. I am a Seventh-day Adventist because that's the Bible, that's what the Bible shows me. That's the church. I was a Roman Catholic, a very good one, forgive me for a lack of modesty. I was, according to all the definitions, an excellent Roman Catholic. I went to church every single Sunday, even without anybody telling me to go. I confessed. As a child, I avoid to say any bad words because I didn't want to kneel before the priest tell her that I said something bad. So I kept my mouth shut about not saying bad words. I tried to be a good kid so I didn't have to confess to anybody, a stranger. I took my communion, what they call communion. I pray every single day the rosary. Have you ever met a kid that pray the rosary every single day? Now you know what I mean. But God knew my heart, and He knew that I need to know a little bit more. Amen. And so one day, I was given a Bible by his name, Ezra. He became a pastor later on. He gave me a Bible and says, this is going to change your life. And because of that book, I'm here before you today. And by God's grace, I'll be standing, by His grace, I'll be standing with you that day when you see Him coming. We do not know the day, but we know that He's coming. But off of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. And I will explain what that means. But only the Father. When Jesus said this, He said in His humanity, He did not know. But in His divinity, of course, God knows everything. Okay, so that's what that expression means. Brothers and sisters, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. What it means is that when we least expect it, He will come. And He is coming. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. Now, one thing that we all need to know. As is appointed for all human beings to die once, and some will die twice. Not you. Not me. But some will be die at least once. But after this, there will come in judgment. And that is something that nobody... You may say today, I don't believe in God. But one thing for sure, judgment will come. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And I try to make that hour there very clear. So you know, it is a tragedy, brothers and sisters, for somebody to bury, just like my sister was telling the story today, to bury that lies on the sand or built in the sand. See the jars? They are empty. No oil. What happens to oil when it drops in the sand? It disappears. Sister Victoria, you used this text this morning. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Remember, I asked you to remember the text about the lamp for my feet, light for my path. Remember? I wanted to make an application here. When the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, basically, the Bible is telling us that you are the light, you are the lamp. You need oil so that you may shine, you may project grace. We are not to project before the world our self-righteousness. We are to project before the world compassion. And we are to project before the world holiness, so that people may be attractive. They may know that, oh, I need that. And when they may come to you and say, you know, I have lived my life in darkness. I need some light. Give me some of your oil. I hope you say to them, I'll show you how to get it. You cannot give your own, but you can show them where they can go and get enough to keep them close to God. It is my prayer for you that you will keep your faith, that you have so much oil that everybody will see the light in you. God chose you to be a light. Please do shine.
tonight.